Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
An absolute American legend, an American icon, not just a baseball icon and legend, but an American icon and legend. Hank Aaron died today, 86 years old, and the entire sports world and beyond has been in mourning, Rob.
No doubt about it. Chris, you just said it. He's beyond just one sport, just baseball. Everybody knows that name, Hank Aaron, and what he was able to accomplish on the baseball field. But along with being one of the top, I say two or three sluggers who have ever played the game, he was also a guy with great dignity, Chris, class, and the way he handled himself throughout his career. Played in the Negro Leagues before black players could play in the majors. Played a long career, 23 years. Passed Babe Ruth in 1974. And Chris, you know, people threatened to kill him and his children. They didn't want him, a black man, to pass Babe Ruth, an American right. Icon. It was just the idea that the greatest home run hitter in the United States would be a black man when we just started playing at that level in 1947.
Right.
Think about
it. He entered the major leagues in 1954.
Right.
So he was in that first generation of black players. And all of a sudden, he's breaking Babe Ruth's record.
And
you're absolutely right.
I shed some tears today because the video of him, Chris, hitting the home run off Al Downing and the Dodgers to pass Babe Ruth, and Vince Scully's on the call, and Vince Scully's tremendous. He captures the whole moment. He doesn't. We do have it. We're about to listen to it. And Chris, he captures the whole moment. He talks about a black man breaking a record of an iconic white guy in the South and what it meant. Vince Scully, I give him credit. Like, he didn't just make it as a home run and it didn't matter. It meant something. Right. And if you were black back then, it was a badge of pride. And Hank Aaron just, you know, like, shrugged all of the criticism and the hate and the bigotry off, Chris, and was able to still do his job and still play through it. It's an incredible, incredible story. And what made me cry, and I'm being honest with you, I shed tears, is you need to go look at the video on what I'm talking about. It's his father's first in a hat. His father comes up. There's a big crowd around Hank Aaron. Chris, you probably saw it today if you watched the video. His father's first. He gives him a hug with the crowd around him. Yep. And then his mom comes through the crowd, and she grabs him like it's her last grab of her life. And she holds tight as if to say, my son did it, you know, and I'm so proud. It was the moment that a couple of tears came down my eye because you could really see the love and the how much she admired her child for making such an amazing accomplishment. And it's great. And Chris, what's your take on Hank?
Man, I mean, everything you said, I certainly agree with. Hank Aaron, and I don't know that this generation of sports fans, particularly black ones, can understand how big he was, right? Because baseball is not as dominant as it was back then. In the 70s, baseball was king, right? It was more popular than football. It was more popular than basketball. And I think in much of the country, even in black communities, when I was growing up, when he broke that home run record, 1974, I was living in Cincinnati in a black neighborhood. And we played baseball and talked about baseball. And it seemed like we liked baseball more than basketball. And my two biggest heroes at that young age, I was only six. But that young age, I was probably five when he actually broke the record.
Well, right.
Maybe six. I don't know. But, yeah, I was six, I guess. I would have been five. But Hank Aaron and Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
Were like the two biggest names that I recall in the black community as far as athletes. And, you know, because both of them were obviously dominant in their sports, but also they both stood up for what was right and stood up
absolutely.
For African-American rights. In fact, Muhammad Ali, Robin, I'm assuming you heard this today. I know you've probably heard it before. Muhammad Ali said this about Hank Aaron. He's the only man I idolize more than myself.
Wow. Did he really say that?
He said that. He said he's the only man I idolize more than myself. And Rob, you know, a lot, we've dealt a lot with mental health and recently, you know, because Kyrie Irving took time away to get himself right and all that. And we respect that. But, and I was talking with players and just people around the NBA about, you know, players do, I know they get the whole offseason off, about 4 months, 5 months, whatever it might be. But they do generally play through all sorts of challenges that we all face in life, right? You go through a divorce, that's tough. Players play through that. You know, you got problems in your personal life or whatever it is, that's tough. Players play through that. So they generally play through the challenges and tough things, circumstances that we all deal with in life. They don't get to necessarily just take the day off or whatever. Hank Aaron played through death threats at a time when a white person threatened a black person with a death threat. I mean, it could happen, and it obviously could happen today, but, you know, back then, it was not unusual. I mean, lynching had just, you know, was really big just years before, you know, and it was a whole overt racism was much more prevalent than it is today. And so he had to take those threats seriously, and yet he still went out there, not only showed up for work, but played and played brilliantly. You know, Chris, he didn't just play. He played brilliantly through
with all of
that madness.
And the other thing, too, you were talking about the threats. Think about this. If you watch the video when he rounds second base between second and third, Chris, two guys come out of the stands, two white guys behind Hank Aaron. Yep. At that point, Hank, you know, just shrugs them off and keeps running. One of those guys could have stabbed him with all the threats or tried to shoot him on the field. I mean, what could have been going through his ear?
Defensive. Like, he didn't jump or
he didn't swing on nobody.
Where you might want to hit somebody or whatever. He just played it cool and kept going. You know, it was amazing, man. It was, and here's another thing, right? And this is baseball related. I mentioned it yesterday briefly. We see a lot of guys, and maybe you're the baseball expert. You can tell me if I'm wrong or right. It seems like today, Rob, we see more guys who aren't consistently great. Like, I remember players who every year they were going to be great. And today, obviously, you do have players like that. But you also have a lot that are fly by night. They have a nice stretch, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it might be. But they aren't consistently awesome. Hank Aaron was the home run king, and he never hit more than 47 home runs in a season.
That's two more numbers for you.
Consistency. And Rob, he was a home run hitter, obviously. And he batted 305 for his career. Think about, I mean, Think about that.
Let me give you two more.
Hit for power and average.
Here's two more. If you take away his 755 home runs, he still, Chris, had over 3,000 hits. You know that's a magic number, 3,000 hits.
Wow.
You could take those away. And here's the last one. He finished his career 3 RBIs short of 2,300. He played 23 seasons, Chris. That would be an average of 100 RBIs through your entire career. Think about it. When you start your career, you're not that great, right? And when you end, you're not as good. So your numbers are going to go down because they're not that good at the end.
Right.
And it drags it down. He averaged 100 RBIs. And Hank Aaron's numbers are ridiculous. The idea that he even went into the Hall of Fame without 100%. Who didn't vote for Hank Aaron?
That's baseball. You know that. I mean, it's
right.
It's
Mariano Rivera was the first to be unanimous. Right. But we want to hear this call, though.
Right, right. Quickly, though, Hank Aaron, you said you start off, you're not that good. His second year, he was 21 years old. He batted .314 with 37 home runs, 106 RBI. So he came around.
He started
quickly.
Right. But I'm saying most call. People,
Let's
right.
His home
fastball is a high drive in the deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father, and as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth.
Absolutely.
There it is, the great Vince Scully talking about the great Hank Aaron.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I brought this up with John Middlecoff.
He didn't give you the answer you wanted.
Well, he didn't go against it, but...
No, but he wasn't like, oh, it's outrageous.
He didn't think it was outrageous. Like I do. Okay. That people are actually around the NFL, according to reports, saying that Josh Allen is as good as Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Here it is from Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, Rob. I'm going to read his quote.
That
some who know the game, some who know the game and who study it carefully are wondering whether Bills quarterback Josh Allen has caught up with Mahomes. That's enough. That's all I need to say.
Go ahead. Keep going. I want to hear more of this story, Uncle Chris. Keep going.
That's all. I'm going to dismantle it. Can we relax, folks? First of all, since
Chris,
when?
Wait a minute. Let me just say one thing. Are they being prisoner of the moment, Chris? Is that what they're
absolutely
doing? Are they rushing
absolutely
to judgment?
Here's why.
Okay.
Here's
I'm
why. Because in Josh Allen's first season, he was bad. In his second season, he was slightly above average. And his third season was great. But Pat Mahomes was great from day uno. First year, MVP. Give me that. Second year, Super Bowl. Give me that. I mean, what are we talking about?
But, Chris, you got two different things going. But let me say this.
He's not Pat Mahomes, people. Don't believe the hype.
But you got two things going. You're talking about winning as if it's only Patrick Mahomes who's winning. And they're talking about the numbers, which are closer. And even Patrick Mahomes' second year, he went from 50 touchdowns to 26. He had
he
a big drop off.
He played 12 games.
No, he didn't,
had
Chris.
A great year.
He missed two games. And Drew Brees missed three games and still had more touchdowns than Mahomes.
So you going to say Pat Mahomes didn't have a great year last year?
All I'm telling you is he went from 50 to 26 touchdowns.
That's fine, but he still had a great year.
But Chris, the point is, Rob G, do you have those numbers?
He still had a great year.
Okay, but the numbers between him, they're not that far off. That's why people are saying it.
I got him, Rob, if you want to hear him.
Yes.
That's why people are bringing it up. Mahomes played one fewer game more touchdown.
Okay, let's hear the
numbers.
That's the numbers.
Okay? That's the numbers.
Well, I got it right here for you, Chris.
Here we go.
Josh Allen, 13-3, 69% completions, which is higher than Mahomes, who's
I don't care about that. I'm just telling you, Chris,
can we hear the numbers,
At 66,
please?
He has 45 total touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Mahomes.
Give me the passing touchdowns.
Hold on.
How about that?
We want to hear everything. He's a two-threat quarterback, so we got to hear
right.
more.
And Mahomes has 40 total touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So, but here's the thing. Quarterback rating, which takes into account all of that stuff, Mahomes, 108.2. Josh Allen, 107.2.
Rob G, can you give us the yards per game?
I can look it up.
It ain't about just
yards per game.
Chris, you like to belittle yardage.
What you do is when a guy throws for big yardage, you say, oh, they were playing prevent. The game was over. Not with Pat Mahomes, because he wins.
No, it's a whole different ball.
His yards mean something.
Rob G averaged
316 yards a game, Rob.
You know this when they talk about quarterback rating. It includes everything. That's why you don't have to go to individual. So all I'm saying is, Patrick Mahomes is, what is it, Rob G? 1 point better, 108 to 107?
Correct.
I'm going to give
that's
you the
all.
Comparison.
So is that not, they can't compare those numbers? You think that they're...
It's not all about
Chris,
numbers.
Right? I'm asking you about the quarterback rating.
I'm telling you, I just told you, it ain't all about numbers. Dominique Wilkins, this is the comparison. Josh Allen is Dominique Wilkins.
When I said
Wilkins,
this about Tom Brady's 40 touchdowns, you didn't want to hear it.
I told you
about his 40 touchdowns against the Lions and Falcons.
That's the comparison. Stop it, folks. You about to find out tomorrow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, let's get to, we're sticking with football, of course. For the win, which you know is a part of USA Today, they all these guys are doing their staff questionnaires, I guess. And they asked, of the four possibilities for the Super Bowl matchup, which one would be the sexiest? Which one is the most desirable? And, they found, Rob, that it was the Chiefs versus the Packers. That's right. Kansas City with Pat Mahomes versus Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. They say that's the most desirable Super Bowl matchup. You want my opinion or you want to go first?
No, you can go because I agree with the survey.
I disagree. Look, obviously that would be a great matchup. I'm going to say this too, honestly, Rob. There are degrees, there are levels. But one thing, any matchup this year is going to be exciting. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Buffalo, Tampa Bay. I think Buffalo's interesting because of what they've been able to do. They got a young quarterback. Diggs is there. Their defense is pretty good. I know most people in NFL America on Buffalo and would probably be bummed out.
They're the team people least want to see in the Super Bowl.
Because it would be the Chiefs getting knocked out, so they can't repeat. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it would be a downer, like, oh, I can't believe
the
Chiefs
would
didn't
be,
win.
There still are storylines there. They've never won a Super Bowl, even though they've been, four times.
They went to four straight, right.
Right, right. So I think any way it comes out is going to be a good, fun Super Bowl. But, Rob, I am not just giving my opinion for Chris Broussard. I think for America that the most desirable Super Bowl would slightly, because, Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes is great. That would be a lot of fun. But I think it's Brady Mahomes. I really do. I think it's Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and I'm going to give you why. One, the storylines write themselves. Storylines galore. A 43-year-old legend leaves New England, goes to a 7-9 team, and not only leads them to the playoffs for the first time in 12 years, but he leads them to the Super Bowl. I mean, that would be huge. Obviously, on the other side, you got all the storylines with Mahomes, winning two in a row, all of that stuff. But here's the other thing, Rob. This could serve as a passing of the torch. And we know Tom Brady's no longer the best quarterback in the NFL. But figuratively, I mean, he's the GOAT in most people's estimation. And if he's not the GOAT, he's certainly ahead of Rodgers in everybody's estimation. And so if Mahomes against Brady, I've said it, but many others have too, one day that Pat Mahomes could be the GOAT. And so this would serve as a symbolic passing of the torch if they met and if Mahomes was to beat him. And if Brady somehow is to win, I mean, my goodness, the old head pats the youngster on the top of the head and says, wait your turn, son. I'm not done. I just think, and I'm not going to deny that Rodgers Mahomes wouldn't be fantastic, but I really think the more compelling game would be Tampa Bay, Kansas City, because of all the storylines. And the last thing, when you're trying to take the torch, you got to get it. You got to take it from the greatest. Aaron Rodgers is not the greatest. He might be, in some people's estimation, the greatest to throw the football, but he's not the GOAT. And so to really take the torch, you got to take it from the GOAT. I would rather see Brooklyn take it from LeBron James and the Lakers than from Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Take it from the GOAT. Take it from the guy that's the best player, you know, still playing, that's got the highest legend. The highest, you know, overall rank historically. I think that'd be a better game.
I could not disagree more. I think people are tired of the Brady act. I think there are a lot of people who just don't want to see Tom Brady anymore. I think Aaron Rodgers, because of what happened this year, they draft his replacement. They don't get him any help. Like the storyline, they finally got a defense to go with this guy. If he were to knock off Tom Brady and then to knock off Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, it would be bigger. It would enhance like all the talk about him, and then you would look and go, who knows? You know, he didn't play his first 3 years. We know he's 37. He might have a chance in the NFC to run off two or three before he retires. It opens up a whole nother storyline, and then people will remember, oh, yeah, he beat Tom Brady. He was the MVP that year. Then he beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and then the Packers won two more. Aaron Rodgers finished his career 4-0 with all these passing records.
Super Bowls.
No, I'm just giving you, like, what it could be, and that's why this is a story, because it's the ultimate redemption story for Aaron Rodgers from the standpoint that people wrote him off. Chris, maybe you didn't. Other people wrote him off. Bucky Brooks.
Who other than Bucky Brooks?
Well, other people just thought. I mean, I've seen other, but Bucky Brooks did it. He's overrated. He should finish his career in Chicago. All this other stuff. It's just a matter of time before they're ready to move on to Jordan Love and all this stuff. And when they drafted Jordan Love, people were like, oh, well, it's just a matter of time. Aaron Rodgers will be out of there. And instead, he's playing his best football. I think people want to see Aaron Rodgers playing his best football and what's the possibility with a good defense. I think this is the best team he's ever had with all the pieces parts. And if he were able to pull this off, it would finally be what, Chris, you've always talked about. They never gave him a defense. They never did this. They never did that. He finally had all those things, and he was able to put it together, win a Super Bowl, and then you would look and go, well, Tom Brady played till he's 43. Aaron Rodgers is 37. Why can't he have three or four more good years. He didn't even have to go to Tom Brady's 43 and could have three or four more good years. So that's why I think it would be, and then it would be if he beat Patrick Mahomes, who you say is Jordan, I think that would say something. Well, Jordan,
yeah,
I think
Jordan,
I think it would say something like to Aaron Rodgers, here's the young gun who everybody was going crazy about, saying he's the next, you know, coming of the greatest quarterback ever, and he got knocked out by Aaron Rodgers at 37 years old, and Aaron Rodgers won the MVP and the Super Bowl. I just think that story is a great one. And of all four quarterbacks, Tom Brady's the worst of the four. And I don't look at it. When I look at the Bucs and what they've done to get there, I don't look at Tom Brady and go, oh, my God, it's unbelievable what Tom Brady did in the last game against the Saints. That's not what I look at. I look at how the defense played.
Man.
And Tom Brady, of course, took advantage of the situation.
You're going to belittle Tom Brady.
I'm just talking about his numbers weren't great. But I would love to see
what he's brought
the AFC best team and the NFC best team.